and help if anything goes wrong with your licensed letting agent. So you can make sure that your most expensive college decision doesn't cost you more than it should. To learn more about your PSRA consumer protections, visit psor.ie. A message from the Property Services Regulatory Authority.
Night Fever, Symphonic Bee Gees with the RTE Concert Orchestra. Performing Tragedy, Islands in the Stream, How Deep Is Your Love, Staying Alive, and more. Under conductor Richard Balcombe, with vocalists Graeme Bakley, Patrick Smith, James Gibbs, and Laura Tebbutt. Live at the National Concert Hall on Friday the 22nd of August. See rte.ie/co for more. Night Fever, Symphonic Bee Gees with the RTE Concert Orchestra. RTE, your public service media.
It's almost 3 o'clock on RTE Radio 1 with the new Dublin Airport app. Pre-book parking, lounges, fast track and more. Download the app today.
Get in touch with Liveline on 0818 715 815.
Well done, Liveline listeners. You've almost sorted the presidency. We'll sort more problems tomorrow, but that's all we have time for today. James Feeney on sound, research by Richie Byrne and Emily Phelan produced. Stay tuned for Ray Darcy up next. Ach, when you're fad, gudin lomorach slán agus banacht.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. The outlook just got even brighter with further reductions all summer. In store or at harrycurry.com.
Get in touch on 0818 715 815 or WhatsApp 087 484 8888.
Thanks very much, Cormac. 3 o'clock on RTE Radio 1. Time to go to our newsroom now. On to Maggie Doyle.
Good afternoon from the newsroom. Sean Kelly and Heather Humphreys are seeking Fine Gael's nomination for the presidency after the withdrawal of Mairead McGuinness on health grounds last week. The contest is officially open and prospective candidates have 2 weeks to gain enough support to be voted on by party members. Meanwhile, Fianna Fáil's Billy Kelleher said that a meeting of the parliamentary party should be convened soon to discuss the election. Here's Juliet Gash of our political staff.
Fine Gael's executive council met last night and decided to reopen the nominations process, paying tribute to former candidate Mairead McGuinness, who withdrew on health grounds last week. MEP Sean Kelly confirmed his intention this morning to seek the party's nomination and said he believed party members wanted a contest, adding, "I'm in it to win it." Heather Humphreys has told her local radio station that she would also be seeking the Fine Gael nomination. The former Social Protection Minister told Northern Sound that she had been a bit burnt out last autumn, but now felt fully energised and ready to take on the challenge of running for president. Meanwhile, Billy Kelleher wants Fianna Fáil to meet sooner rather than later to discuss their plans, saying mid-September was too late in the day for the largest party to formulate its strategy. Sinn Féin will also meet in September to discuss whether they'll nominate their own candidate or if they might support the only other candidate with a clear path to the Oras, Catherine Connolly.
Domestic abuse call-outs have increased by 45% in the past 4 years, according to figures from An Garda Síochána. The force was called to the scene of suspected incidents more than 65,000 times last year. In 2020, the figure was just under 45,000. The data was obtained by Aonthu following a parliamentary question to the Minister for Justice, Jim O'Callaghan. Aonthu leader Pádraig Tobin described the increase as shocking and said that Ireland is becoming a more violent place for women. Ukraine's allies are meeting today to discuss the outcome of White House talks yesterday on ways of ending Russia's war with Ukraine. The negotiations concluded with indications of a meeting between the Ukrainian and Russian presidents Volodymyr Zelensky and Vladimir Putin. This morning, the Taoiseach and Minister for Foreign Affairs, Simon Harris, attended a briefing with the President of the European Commission, Ursula von der Leyen, on the discussions in Washington. The Leprino Foods Company has announced the closure of its manufacturing plant in County Laois in the second half of next year. The facility in Port Laois has a workforce of 132 and produces mozzarella and string cheese. The company said the move follows a comprehensive evaluation of all possible options to improve the financial and operational performance of the plant. Leprino said that as part of a consultation process, it will take applications from employees to move to other sites.
RTE Radio 1 weather with Grant. Get ahead with Grant's most innovative heat pump, the Arona R290. Home heating for the next generation. Visit grant.ie.
Scattered showers over Munster and South Leinster, heavy or thundery at times. The showers will become more isolated as the day goes on. Largely dry elsewhere with bright spells. Highest temperatures of 17 to 22 degrees. That's it from the newsroom.
Thanks, Maggie. Thanks very much.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Good afternoon on this Tuesday afternoon. How are you? 51551 for your text or ray at rte.ie for emails or 0870 32 32 32 for WhatsApps. Yes, I remember it. Thanks very much to Brendan Courtney for keeping the chair warm over the last month. Yes, that's, I think that's the longest I've been off the radio in an awful long time. And thanks to everyone who got in touch via cards and text messages and filled in the condolences section of rip.ie. We're all very sad. Obviously, all the Darcys and extended family are sad. I'm going to just say a little bit about my mother. Not much, because she would be very uncomfortable if she knew I was talking about her on the radio. I did over the years. I slipped it in over the years, and loads of people have brought my attention to that. And a lot of listeners sort of felt they knew my mother because of things I had said over the years. But just, I suppose, to reiterate, she was a very understated woman. And loads of words come to mind when I think about my mother. But a word that comes up over and over again is that she was a woman of integrity. And I'll give you an example. Years ago, I used to work in the local drapery shop. This is like 40 years, more than 40 years ago. And we had a staff discount, which was, I think, about 25%. So if you bought something in the shop for yourself, you got 25% discount. Now, we weren't well off at all. So I came home, very happy with myself. Ma, there's a 25% staff discount. It was coming up to Christmas. And I said, why don't you let me buy something for everybody in the family at the discount? You know, be a nice way of saving money. And she said, no. Because that's for you, not for me. That sort of honesty. Honest to a fault, I think, was my mother. And she was a lady. We're all going to miss her terribly. And we often talk about grief on this programme. And I've listened to people and they've shared their stories with me. And I never really understood it up until now. People talk about a physical reaction to grief, and for the first time in my life I've had that, and which I suppose you would say I'm lucky getting to this stage of my life and not having that sort of grief in my life. Makes me one of the lucky ones. But it was like the only way I can describe it was sort of and I've never had a panic attack, but from the description of a panic attack, it was like a low level, longer lasting panic attack that spread over a couple of weeks. And the only thing that solved it for me, and everybody would have their own way of dealing with it, was to get out in fresh air and move and run and walk and jump in the sea and all that sort of thing. And I found great solace in that. And the beautiful thing, of course, was we were blessed, for want of a better word, with the beautiful weather we've had this year in this country. And there was an abundance of beautiful butterflies. And I don't know if they were following me around for a reason, if it was a sign or anything. But everywhere I went, there were butterflies of every hue. There were the admiral ones, and there were the amber and black ones. There were the little blue ones. There were white ones with black markings. And this year, of all years, there seems to be more of them. I don't know. Maybe some scientists can explain that to me. And I found great solace in that, being out and about, looking at the butterflies. And for the first time this morning, people often talk about this, and I've never experienced it before. I was thinking about a cousin of mine, and I was thinking about, oh, I must send them a card. And I'll ring my ma, because she had this encyclopedic record of everybody, their phone numbers, their addresses, their email addresses. And of course, if I rang, there'd be nobody there. That's it. Anyway, thank you to everybody. And people I met in the street, people I've never met before, come up and offer their condolences. And that's lovely. And a lot of people who wrote cards were talking about the times ahead where you'll be able to remember the happy times. And they're seeping in already, the happy times with my mother. Now, on the show today, the brilliant Muireann Bradley, from Donegal. She is a prodigy when it comes to playing the guitar. She's been on Jules Holland. She's toured America, and she's still not 20. by my calculations, and she's coming in and she's going to play a couple of tunes for us. Looking forward to that. Ray and Alison are on after 4 o'clock. Alison Keating, psychologist, and Ray O'Neill, psychoanalyst with DCU, will be here later to answer your relationship queries and questions. Ray at rte.ie. And I see that Ray has written a piece on soulmates for the brainstorm section of rte.ie. And it's a good read. It's a good read. And he's quoting some of the famous fictional soulmates. Wuthering Heights, yeah. Cathy and Heathcliff. And he's talking about Connell and Marianne from Normal People. And he's not a big fan of the notion of soulmates. And I think I agree with him. Now, maybe you disagree with both of us, but I think the soulmate is a contrivance, a creation maybe of fiction and in latter years, Hollywood. And that if we go around in the world thinking there's somebody out there for us who's going to change us and complete us, that we'll be waiting for that ship and we'll miss the boat, to use an old adage. Anyway, I'm going to talk to Ray about that, his thinking on soulmates. Some of the things he says in it, like, romance is magical, but love is real. The soulmate idea often avoids reality, especially for the exhausted singles or the frustrated partner. It can excuse and hide anything from a hidden life with cats to a disastrous affair justified as fate. See, that's the other thing that gets in my wake. And you've heard it so many times, and we would have heard it over the years, people emailing in and saying that, you know, I've fallen for a workmate. And they may have a wife or husband, a partner at home. And then oftentimes they'd use that line, you can't help who you fall in love with. Now, I would argue the point that you can. You have a choice. You can say no. You can say stop. You can decide not to be in the company of the person that you feel you've fallen head over heels in love with. And that's a choice that you make. But that thing about you can't help who you, that's a contrivance, a creation of fiction and Hollywood as well. Anyway, we'll be talking to Ray about that. And if you have any relationship woes that you're going through and you want some anonymous free advice from Alison and Ray O'Neill, ray at rte.ie. I don't know if you know this, but Oasis played Croke Park over the weekend. Yeah, 160,000 people went, and there's still the fallout from it. And the Journal today are asking the question, I love their little polls, do you love or hate ole 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 at gigs? So it goes on to say, Oasis have wrapped up two massive gigs at Croke Park. Did you know there were, yeah? For many who couldn't get their hands on a ticket, living vicariously through social media was the next best thing. One clip that's been doing the rounds shows 80,000 strong crowd chanting ole 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 in tribute to Noel and Liam, the Gallagher brothers. Oh yeah. It's been ubiquitous since 1990 when they decided to include it and put him under pressure. And we spoke to Will Leahy about this because he made a documentary about the recording of Put Him Under Pressure. And we spoke to him about Olé, Olé, Olé and its origins. And of course, Olé is a Spanish word. There's links back to matadors and bullfighting. It was used by the Scottish national team in one of their songs, Ali's Tartan Army, back in 1978, which predated Put Him Under Pressure by 12 years. And then it was part of a Belgian song called Anderlecht Champion. And the French used it, Allez, 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 as opposed to Olé, Olé, Olé. And then in 1986, for the Mexico World Cup, I think the Spanish team might have used it. So it's everybody has used it over the years, but we have made it especially our own. And whether it's boredom or a show of affection for the act that we're at a concert for, we launch into Olé, Olé, Olé. I remember seeing Prince in Parque Quiv. That's a long time ago, isn't it? And at some point in the well-orchestrated and choreographed concert, the crowd, I think it was out of affection, started singing Olé, Olé, Olé. Now, Prince, who was a man who liked to be in control, didn't know what he was listening to, didn't like it, and asked the crowd, this is my memory anyway, to stop. The Gallagher brothers, I would imagine, understood the relevance of Olé, Olé, Olé and went along with it. Just, they're asking in the poll today, the journal, do you love or hate ole 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 at gigs? Well, the majority of people say they hate it. Yes, nearly half of the people, over 5,000 people say, I hate it. I don't mind it, say a fifth. And then a third say, I love it. So what are your thoughts on ole 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 or soulmates or whatever you're thinking about today? 51551 or 0870 32 32 32. Good afternoon. Thank you.
You on the phone last night, we live and die by pretty lies, you know it, we both know it. These silver bullet cigarettes, this burning house, there's nothing left, it's smoking, we both know it. We got all night to fall in love, but just like that we fall apart, we're broken, but nothing, nothing, nothing gonna save us now. Well, this broken nothing gonna save us now. Nothing, nothing, nothing gonna save us now. With this broken
Cyrus. Nothing breaks like a heart on RT Radio 1. Now, we're looking for two people to come on after 4 o'clock and take part in the 1, 2, 3 quiz. Yeah, I have to remind myself here. It's on Radio 1, two contestants, three questions each just after 4 o'clock. General knowledge quiz. After you hear the category for each question, you can decide whether you want to go for a one-pointer or a two-pointer. And as you know by now, the one-pointer is multiple choice, two-pointer, same question but no choice, and there is a prize. And whoever wins the quiz today will enjoy two nights for two in the stunning boutique hotel, the Wilder Townhouse in Dublin. It's just a 5 minute stroll from the city centre. The Wilder Townhouse is bold, comfortable and chic. The prize includes breakfast each morning in the garden room, and on the day of arrival you will be treated to a sumptuous charcuterie board. In the intimate residence only gin and tea room. perfectly positioned to enjoy all of Dublin's busiest wine bars, greatest restaurants, picturesque parks and popular tourist attractions, either on foot or by Dublin bike. The Wilder Townhouse is the ideal base for an exciting city break. It's the only property to make it into the Holy Trinity of Hospitality. I'll say that again. It's the only property to make it into the Holy Trinity of Hospitality Guides, yes. The Mr. and Mrs. Smith Guide, Small Luxury Hotels of the World, and Ireland's Blue Book. It also has one Michelin star, or even one Michelin key to boot. TheWilder.ie. Here's your qualifying question on this Tuesday afternoon. It's 20 years since the statue of Phil Innett was unveiled on Dublin's Harry Street. What was the name of his band? What was the name of Phil Innett's band? 0818-715-925. What was the name of Phil Innett's band? 0818-715-925.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Bill?
Yes?
Can you throw my green dress in the bin?
Are you sure?
Yep.
It's not that bad, love. And when your sister said you looked like a courgette, I'm sure she meant it in a cute way.
Bill.
We could at least donate it. There must be someone who could get good use out of it. Maybe turn it into a pair of curtains.
I said put it in the laundry bin, Bill.
Oh, right.
Not hearing the whole conversation? Book a free hearing check with one of our experts at Specsavers. Terms and conditions apply.
I've always loved courgettes.
A positive, A negative, B positive, B negative, O positive, O negative, AB positive, AB negative, A positive, A negative, B positive, B negative, O positive, O negative, A positive, A negative, O positive, O negative.
Ireland's supply of blood types is running critically low. So please, if you're a regular donor and we've texted you, call to make an appointment. Or if it's your first time, register now at giveblood.ie. Because we count on you.
Captured in the moment, it's the live experience. Classical mastery from some of the greatest names on the world stage. It's what we bring daily to The Full Score. Join me, Liz Nolan, Mondays to Thursdays, 1 to 4 p.m. on RTE Lyric FM for A Brush with the Extraordinary.
This Halloween, check in, relax, take a shower. Spend an evening at the Bates Motel and watch Psycho, Alfred Hitchcock's classic Hollywood thriller, with Bernard Herrmann's iconic score performed live to picture by National Symphony Orchestra Ireland, conducted by Anthony Gabrielli. Friday, October 31st at the National Concert Hall. See nch.ie if you dare.
Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
51551 or ray@rte.ie. Now, back in July, we spotted a story about an Englishman who is obsessed with manholes. And I was saying at the time, there is a man I want to talk to on the radio. And as a welcome back present, the team have lined up the said man on the line now. Peter Sishton, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
So you're an author and manhole cover enthusiast.
I am indeed.
Yes. And are you unique in your title as manhole cover enthusiast?
To be honest, when I first got my passion for manholes, I thought I was completely bonkers and the only person on this planet. But over the last 5 or 6 years, I've discovered there are plenty of us.
Wow. So you found your tribe.
I have indeed, yeah, worldwide.
Yeah. The story of how you became obsessed with manholes is an interesting one. It involves injury.
Yes, yes indeed. Well, that goes back to about 2017 when I was going through a pretty hideous divorce back here in Wales. And I was invited over to go to the southwest of France for this. Some friends of ours, a gay couple, that needed some help with their overgrown garden. They needed their bushes trimming somewhat. And they said, come over and spend 2 weeks on holiday with us and you can trim our bushes and have a lovely time. So I did. I went over. But sadly, on day two, my back went into a major, major, I don't know what you call it, a spasm. Mm. And so I had to lay on my back on floorboards for 2 weeks. But I was bent double, essentially. And I used to walk down to the back in the evenings, looking at the floor because that's the only thing I could look at, and I discovered Art Deco manhole covers. So I got my mobile phone out, and over 2 weeks I assembled a portfolio of manhole covers.
You could not make that up, Peter.
No, it was serendipity, because had I not hurt my back, I would not have seen the floor. And the couple that I was living with were artists, let's say.
Yeah.
And they said, oh, Peter, you must do an exhibition of your manholes, which I thought hilarious. So I said, yes, okay. And that got me through my divorce.
Oh,
so there you are.
Yeah. And of course, COVID came along as well, probably timely enough for you.
It did indeed, yeah.
Yeah. So can you bring us back then to France?
Yes.
Doubled over, looking at the ground as you went out every evening. And that first time, what happened? What was there a spark? Was there a moment?
Yes.
Was there a flashing light? Did you fall off a horse?
Oh,
was
it? Yes. Oh, absolutely. Well, you know, Saint-Jean-d'Angely, which is, where is it? It's the southwest of France. I was stumbling down, what's a medieval town? It's on a pilgrimage to Rome. So all, you know, the pilgrims used to travel there from all over the world, and so you'd find knights, templars, hospitals and things along these old tracks. And but along these old tracks that I discovered a manhole cover that looked like an alien from outer space, and that's what really got me. I thought, these things,
go on, describe it to me.
If you imagine the kind of ET that you would have found in the 1970s in Star Trek, you know, with egg-shaped heads,
yes,
with sort of very, very large eyes, elongated eyes. That's what it looked like. It looked like this alien was crying because it had been raining.
So it just took my
imagination.
It was an elliptical-shaped manhole,
yes,
was it?
Yeah,
as opposed
absolutely.
To a circular or a square one.
Yes.
And then whatever they'd done with it, the features of it looked like eyes. I see now what you're saying.
Yes, that's right.
So
yeah.
Nobody set out for it to look like an alien, just in your head. It was probably the painkillers you were on, maybe.
It could. Well, yeah, absolutely well put. I never thought it like that. I thought, oh, these artists, these Victorian artists, because that's where these fantastic objects emerged from, really, is the Industrial Revolution. I just thought they were off their heads on absinthe, I guess.
Yeah. Here, the boring bit, Peter, the history of manholes. So it's obviously, it gives us access to the sewers. Is that it?
No. It's very interesting. So I think it's interesting. But do you know who invented the manhole?
No idea.
It was the Romans.
What did the Romans ever do for us?
Yeah, exactly. So they used to be wooden because they didn't have juggernauts and stuff like that. So actually, it was down to the Romans. And if you want to, you can go to Vienna, which is Roman Vindobona, I think it was called. They've got a Roman manhole in the museum there. But most importantly, I guess it was the Industrial Revolution that brought iron manholes the fore. So if you go to, I imagine, Dublin, Manchester, Sheffield, London, you know, all of those kind of places, they were the forefront of manhole makers. And there used to be lots of boundaries all over the country, but there aren't anymore. So you can find the history of your local places. If you go around looking at them, you can see where they were made. And find lots of heritage about them. Yeah, so initially they were just drains. So there's drain covers and manhole covers. So a lot of manhole covers would have been for sewage initially. Uh-huh. But as we progressed, as societies and industries and technologies come to the fore, you can find the manhole covers that will cover telecommunications, water, fire hydrants, water for fire hydrants, water for, you know, private use, electronics.
So basically,
range of things.
Yeah, any utility that's underground that we need
access to. Right, yeah.
Yes, you have a manhole.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, so Industrial Revolution, foundries, steel. But you were attracted by the art. Did people have fun designing them, or are you seeing something that other people don't see?
Now, I think, in all honesty, I noticed it because it was very artistic. So someone in a foundry was either funded by the foundry owners to celebrate their manholes, which I think is the truth. So wherever you go around the world, you might be, you might have been in a dull area for manholes. But if you're in somewhere like Saint-Jean-d'Angelay in France, you'll see that there are these very Art Deco manholes.
Okay.
So obviously someone's made the decision to fund those, and then someone, a craftsman, has gone out, or craftsman, I think, in those days, would have gone out in the foundry and designed these things for two purposes. One is to make them non-slippery, so they have chevrons on, so people don't go, the old vehicles skid off of the road and kill people, or, you know, they break their necks. And another way is to celebrate the art of the area.
So,
hence Saint-Jean has Art Deco manholes, and they're French. But if you go to Spain and look at manholes, they're like celebrations of what they do. So you'll find the pomegranate in Granada, for example, which is their local emblem. Or if you go to Denmark or somewhere near the sea, you'll have seafaring manholes,
shipbuilding
or fishing, something along those lines. It really is fascinating.
And if one was trying to get into manholes as such, I've no other way of phrasing it, Peter.
Well, you might fall down.
which country would you suggest they visit? Like, where is a hotbed of manhole art?
Well, it depends what tickles your fancy. If you like outrageous and colourful ones, then Japan is the place to go. I haven't actually been there. I've observed the things. See, the Japanese take their manholes very, very seriously. And in the, I think it was about 2000 and 2006 or something, they because of the earthquakes, they renewed their underground facilities, and they then encouraged manhole covers to be made that celebrated functions and the area in which they were. So they're incredible, and they're very, they're made highly in a highly sophisticated scientific way. So you'll see manhole cover manufacturers wearing almost like lab coats, you know?
Yeah. And are they colourful, Peter? Are they colourful as opposed to just metal?
They are. They're painted. They're hand-painted. It looks like they're hand-painted. So have a look. They're stunning.
Right. So you want to go to Japan. And you haven't been to Ireland. We've a good... Because when we mentioned you back in July, the beginning of July, we got a good few texts from people all over the country naming the various foundries who had made manholes over the years.
Because I mentioned
that I knew that there must have been a foundry in Bailieborough, which is the place in Ireland, because I remember seeing it on a manhole. And then people were saying there was... But like you said, there are very few foundries, if any, now making them. So where do they come from then if all the foundries have closed down?
Right, OK, that's a very good question. So it depends which country you're asking for. So in England... UK, they tend to come from India.
Ah, right.
You know, I was saying about how Japan manufacture their manholes in a very scientific way, a safe way, highly technological way. If you go to India, you will find these foundries that look practically medieval. So you'll find foundries that have a huge heat inside them, you know, on top of the country's own temperature. You will find men in their underwear standing in foundries with blast furnaces, and they're making manholes for New York and Manchester and London, all over the world, in very dangerous situations.
Wow. And what's the most common shape of a manhole?
Why are manholes round? You know, the Microsoft used to ask that question when they were interviewing future candidates.
Are they all, they're not all round, though. There are square ones. And we've established that there's an elliptical one in the south of France. So,
Absolutely. Yeah. It varies. But they're usually round or square.
Uh-huh. Now, you've two books. You've two books out, Peter.
Yeah, I do, yes. Yeah. The first one was Heavy Metal, A Tribute to Manholes.
Right.
Which was celebrating my art from the days of my back injury, when I was tempting people. I used to take photographs of these manholes in an abstract way. because I loved the art and I wanted people to guess where these artistic images came from.
Okay, that's
so
the first
that was
book.
Heavy metal.
Yeah.
So that went to number 10 in the Amazon Street Arts chart. I couldn't believe it. And it's still bobbing up and down there. So that donate all profits to We Are Survivors Manchester, which is a really good charity. But the new book is Mancoals and Beyond, and that celebrates the exhibition that was just completed in Manchester Central Library, which went on for 3 months, April, May, June, July. And we're hoping to take that on tour around the UK over the next year or two, if I get the heritage. I was approached by the National Heritage Fund to take the exhibition
on the road,
but in a new way, which is to take it to use the current exhibition pieces as a celebration of what people can get into once they found their manholes. They can dance, they can do dance, they can write about them, they can write poetry, they can paint them, they can rub them if you like, they can do interior designs.
So Peter, I must say, because this could be the beginning of something here between us, because we had a relationship with a man from England, I can't remember exactly where he was from, but his obsession was roundabouts. And he did an annual calendar with various roundabouts. And he was so taken by our interest in him that he travelled to Ireland and he photographed 12 of Ireland's most famous roundabouts. And he issued a calendar. Do you know him? Is he in your tribe?
I'm getting excited now. No, I tell you what, though. I formed a collective of manhole enthusiasts, artists.
Of course you did.
Called the Manchester Manhole Collective. And one of them's come over from New York, Sarah Miranda. She's an interior designer.
Right.
And she gets on her knees in New York and rubs manholes, you know, and creates wallpapers and carpets and all sorts of ceramics. She came over. She's part of the Manchester Manhole Collective.
Right.
But also there's a guy called Archie Workman, who's the dullest man in Britain. He was voted dullest man in Britain last year.
I have to say it. That must have been very exciting for him.
He was over the moon. Yeah. He takes he's actually a Lengthsman, and he works in the Lake District, Cumbria. And he actually looks after drain covers part-time. And he's been rubbing drain covers for most of his life. And he created a calendar of drain covers two years ago. Yeah. And he got onto Loose Women. He's a B celebrity now,
yes,
you know.
Yeah.
So he's a... And I tell you what, when I opened up the exhibition in Manchester, he said, Peter, I've got someone coming over who's the president of the Dullest Man Britain, Dullest Man organisation in the world.
Yeah.
He's American, and he flew over. And yes, he was there, and he said, Peter, I'd like you to be a dull man next year. So,
You see, I love the fact, Peter, that manholes bring you joy. And that's, you know, and the brilliant thing about the world in which we live in and the internet and social media and all that gets a lot of flack, but it means that people can find their tribe in a global sense. So you can hook up with some lady in New York who gets down on her knees and does the rubbing thing to get a wallpaper of a manhole. And it's brilliant. It's all brilliant. So thanks for talking to us. I'm sure we'll talk again. Whenever a new story about manholes come up, you'll be on speed dial, Peter Sishton. Thank you very much.
Well, you'll be very welcome. And I do want to come over and check your manholes out.
If you're here, give us a call and we'll have you in studio. Thanks, Peter.
Definitely. Good. Thank you very much.
Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
RTE Radio 1.
Robbie Williams. Croke Park this Saturday with special guests Elbow and the lottery winners. Limited tickets just released, subject to license. Don't miss Robbie Williams live at Croke Park this Saturday. Limited tickets just released.
Music updates on RTE Radio 1.
Roll on more full trolleys for even less with Lidl Plus. This week, you could spend just €93 on a full trolley worth €123 and save over an incredible €30. Push your savings further with new offers on the Lidl Plus app every week. Scan, pay and save with Lidl Plus. T's and C's apply. See Lidl.ie/Lidl Plus savings.
Oh, and what drink do you want for school today?
Smoothie, please, Mum.
Smoothie it is. And no smoothies. What sandwich are you having?
Cheese.
Okay. Ugh, no cheese. Egg? No eggs. Ugh.
For less and more, sign up to mymilkman.ie or download the app. Wake up to milk, smoothies, cheese, eggs and more delivered to your door. Plus €10 off on sign up. Mymilkman.ie always delivers. Terms and conditions apply.
By taking the bus, the train, walking or cycling whenever you can, you're playing a part in helping to reduce Ireland's transport emissions. To help you on your way, this year over €1.6 billion is being invested in public transport nationwide and over €1 million a day on our walking and cycling routes. This has helped more people than ever to access more sustainable transport. Because wherever you're going, your journey counts. Visit gov.ie/yourjourneycounts. Brought to you by the Government of Ireland.
Drive Time, weekdays from 4:30 on RTE Radio 1.
Coming up on today's Drive Time.
The presidential race heats up, the latest as two candidates battle for the Fine Gael nomination.
Debating the 9% hospitality VAT rate as a new report claims it will save food businesses.
Drama in the skies, why one Dublin community has formed an action group against drone deliveries.
And app obsessed, a medical consultant warns phone shortcuts are harming our brain power.
Join us for Drive Time, RTE Radio 1. Radio 1 4:30.
Text 51551. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Yeah, Rebecca's been on 51551. When my daughter Emily was little, she wanted to know what all the circles were in the path. I told her there were manholes. She said, all of them? I said, yes. She said, why are there no lady holes? That's a valid question, Rebecca. There are loads of footpath manholes in front of houses in George and Dublin. The house seller was under the footpath and the coal man delivered the coal through the manhole, says Michael in Dublin 12. Thanks, Michael. And on Olé, Olé, Olé. I love Olé, Olé, Olé. I think as a nation, a huge number of us remember and relive a very joyful time and it's so uplifting, says Mary. Yeah, it's sort of triggering in a good way, isn't it? Because it brings us back to 1990 when we were all out in the streets celebrating our wins in Italia 90. Now, Merlin Bradley, good afternoon.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Yes, you weren't even born in 1990.
No.
Was your dad even? He was, yeah, of course he was. Great to see you. And you're at the Clonakilty International Guitar Festival, which is on the 17th to the 21st of September.
Yes.
ClonGuitarFest.com. ClonGuitarFest.com for more information. So, if you play us a tune and then we'll have a chat.
Yep.
What are you going to play for us first?
It's one of my first original song. It's called No Name Blues.
When you're ready.
Be a real place. So now you got a new
back in when that golden chain. Now one else to take your grain out with that silver spade. Don't you cry, honey. Well, I'll let you keep your name. But I send you straight to that old devil if you show your face again. Now your ass got made you naked and ashamed. Now get your ass out my front yard or you're gonna feel some pain. Don't ask why, baby. You know you done this to yourself. Now I'm contented and I'm satisfied. Don't need nobody else. I go buy a brand new dress and string up my guitar. Go away from this one on sound. No telling just how far. Feeling right, baby.
No Name Blues.
Yeah.
Merlin Bradley. That sounded great.
Thank you.
Yeah. So is that real or did you make it up?
It's real.
Yeah. You've been through the blues.
Yeah.
How's your summer going?
Very good, yeah. Yeah. I've been pretty busy. Haven't been doing as many festivals as I did last year. I've been taking some time out. I've been doing some recording and, you know, writing, of course.
That's
one of my originals. I've been to a few festivals. I was All Together Now.
How was
again
that?
This year? It was great. Yeah, it went really well. Great weather for it as well.
Yes, so yeah. It's been a glorious summer, hasn't
it? Yeah, it's been great. Yeah. Much better than last summer.
Yeah. Is it daunting doing those festivals? Because you don't know if people are going to come, do you, really? Because there's so much on offer.
Yeah, it can be a bit daunting, especially for me, because I'm just an acoustic act and I just play myself. And, you know, sometimes there can be bleed from other stages, like really loud band or something. It can be a little bit daunting, but usually there does be a good turnout of people by the end of the show, yeah.
Brilliant. Now, if you weren't playing the guitar and if you hadn't appeared on Jules Holland and you hadn't recorded an album, this week would be a very different week for you, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would be. Yeah, I'd be getting my Leaving Cert results.
This Friday?
Yeah.
So you're 18?
I'm 18, yeah.
So I remember speaking to you when the whole thing sort of blew up with Jules Holland and everything, and you were saying you were taking a year out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is the end of the year out,
is it? This is the end of the year out, yeah.
So have you to ask yourself some big questions now?
Yeah, I've got to ask myself if I'm going to go back, if it's just a year out or...
Yeah.
I haven't thought much about it, but...
It's interesting because I was reading in one of the papers today, they have two people going, you know, does the Leaving Cert prepare you for life? And one of them says no, which is Mary Coughlan. The other person says yes. And for somebody like you, who's so talented, and you get so much joy from what you do and you've done it all over the world already. Mm. I suppose the question is, do you need a Leaving Cert?
I don't think I do, to be honest. Yeah. If I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing, I don't think I'll need it. And my mum and dad aren't very pushy on it or anything like that.
So. And is that the plan, to keep doing what you're doing, obviously?
Yeah. I'm loving what I'm doing, so I think I'm going to keep doing it. Yeah.
You're going to sing another song for us now, These Days by Jackson Browne.
Yeah.
Why this one in particular?
Just love the song. Really love the song. And Jackson Browne wrote this when he was only about 16 as well.
Yeah.
So,
I was thinking about that. Have you seen the Bob Dylan movie?
I have, yeah. I've seen it, yeah.
Well, what do you think?
I liked it, yeah. Yeah. I thought it was great. Yeah, it was. I liked it.
Timothy Chalamet did a very good job, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. And he was, Dylan was very young as well, wasn't he, when he was...
Yeah, he was very young too, yeah.
Yeah.
So
that must give you...
Yeah, a little bit of...
Encouragement.
Encouragement, yeah.
Yeah. Right. These Days by Jackson Browne, by Merton Bradley.
Talking these days, these days, these days I seem to think a lot about the things that I forgot to do. And all the time I had chance to, I stopped my rambling. Don't do too much gambling these days. These days, these days I seem to think about how all these changes came about my ways. I wonder if I see another highway. A lover, don't think I'd risk another these days. These days, these days I seem to be afraid, live the life that I have made in song. It's just that I've been losing. Stop my dreaming. Don't do too much scheming these days. These days, these days I sit in cornerstones and count the time in quarter tones to ten. Don't confront me with my fate. I had not forgotten them.
That was beautiful, Marin.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for that. What a treat. That was lovely.
Thanks.
So a different aspect of you there, a different side to you.
Yeah. Thanks.
Do you enjoy singing that?
Yeah, I do, yeah. Yeah. I love singing it, yeah.
Yeah. So you're going back to America.
Back to America, yeah.
What's it like performing over there? Because, you know, it's a very big country. A lot of people do what you do, I'd imagine.
Yeah, it's not much different to performing here or in the UK. I mean, they get the same kind of reaction from the audience.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, it's not that different, not to that be different. Honest. Yeah.
So you were saying you're recording, so there's an EP out when?
It's going to be released. There's not a specific date set yet or anything, but around September, maybe mid-September, around that time. Yeah.
Right. I was talking to you outside and... it's Deb's season or proms season. So you went to your schools.
Did they call it
Deb's or proms up there?
Kind of varies, but where I'm from, they call it prom.
Prom, yeah, right. Prom. Okay, right. Very American thing. Yeah. How was it?
It was okay.
Right, okay.
Yeah. I enjoyed it. Yeah, it was nice to see like my friends and stuff again. And because I'm so busy, I don't get to see them that much. And it was nice to see it.
And were they quizzing you about your life?
Some of them were, yeah.
What were they interested in? What did they want to know?
Most of them want to know about just where I am, why I'm not around so
all
much.
Right, yeah,
just where I've been in the last year because I've been very busy and haven't.
So, well, I've been to America, Czechoslovakia, UK,
yeah,
on the telly, on the radio. What have you been doing?
Yeah.
Murrin is always wonderful. Unreal talents, it's called. And Murrin is fantastic, magical guitar picking and voice to boot. Really enjoying this is Jimmy. And welcome back. Oh, thank you very much. I had the pleasure of seeing Murrin at the RTE Folk Awards. I'm so impressed. What a wonderful, talented young lady. She's a joy and national treasure. Cheers, Alan. How much time do you have to put in practicing?
Probably not enough.
Right.
A good bit. I usually try to do at least an hour or two a day.
Do you? Right.
Just this kind of music, you kind of need to practice it every day, especially some of the really fast songs. Like you can lose the kind of strength in your hands to play it, and just kind of goes out of your hands. You can get out of practice.
So it's
really
like a sport. It's like a sport.
Yeah, you have to keep it up. You have to practice a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, there's a natural talent there, isn't there? Well, you know, a lot of people would aspire to play the guitar like you, and they could put in as many hours as they like, but they'll never achieve it, will they?
I suppose. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what are you going to sing for us now?
This is an old blues song by Blind Blake. He first recorded this in 1927.
Right.
It's called That'll Never Happen No More.
So that's 80 and 20. So it's nearly, yeah, it's 98 years old.
Yeah.
98 years old, right. When you're ready. Bradley, that'll never happen no more. And Myrne is taking part in the Clonakilty International Guitar Festival. It's on from the 17th to 21st of September. ClonGuitarFest.com. ClonGuitarFest.com. And you've also got the invite, have you? Go on, tell us. Against All Certainty, a celebration of Michael D. Higgins.
Yes, I'll be playing at that as well. Yeah, I'm very excited, yeah.
What's the lineup? Yeah. Have you heard who else is playing it?
Yeah, I've heard Paul Brady, I think, is playing, and Andy Irvine, and a couple. Who else is playing? Tommy Turnan's presenting it, of course.
That's going to be a big night, isn't it? When's that on?
Yeah, the 5th of September, so just before I leave to go on the tour of America.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you decide which song you're going to sing for the president who's been with us for the last 14 years?
I'm not sure if I'm supposed to talk about what I'm actually going to be doing.
Have you decided?
Oh, I have decided, yeah. Right. It's going to be something special.
Right, okay. Yeah, and will you get a chance to sing with any of those other people, or will you just be on your own?
No, I think I'll just be on my own.
Right. Maybe there might be one of those things at the end. You know, they always have those things at the end where everybody comes back on stage and they sing one of his favourite songs, whatever that might be.
Yeah.
A Bob Dylan song or something like that. That might happen.
Maybe,
So it's the... Can people get tickets for that? Is it a public? I don't know. Because I'm just back from holidays, you see, so I'm not on top of things.
Yeah.
So it's Against All Certainty, a celebration of Michael D. Higgins, and that's in the National Concert Hall on the 5th of September, you say?
5th of September. Yeah.
Listen, Myrne, thank you so much for coming in. I really enjoyed those three songs. And good luck with the EP. Let us know when it's out so we can tell the people at home when it's out. Thanks, Myrne.
Thank you for having me.
Bye-bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
See how good TV can be with the OLED TV from LG. The LG range gives you superb picture quality, so you can enjoy films and sport like you have never seen them before. For more information, go online to powercity.ie today.
Right by the Sea Literary Festival celebrates its 10th anniversary in Kilmore Quay from September 26th to 28th. Join Marion Keyes, Claire Keegan, Colin McCann, John Banville, Joseph O'Connor, Declan O'Rourke, Paula Meehan, Roisin O'Donnell, Emer McBride, Donal Ryan and more for a weekend of readings, interviews and workshops. Book now at writebythesea.ie. Funded by the Arts Council.
RTE.
Supporting the arts.
Ag tacu leis na halianna.
It's almost 4 o'clock on RTE Radio 1 with the new Dublin Airport app. Pre-book parking, lounges, fast track and more. Download the app today.
Tweet at Radio Ray RTE. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
It's mad when you're in the company of somebody so talented. You're sort of in awe and you're a bit jealous as well. You're just a little bit envious that they have so much natural talent. There is a lot of work involved as well. But yeah, amazing talent, Muireann Bradley. Now, Chris has been on from California, no less. And he says, my nephew and I decided as a graduation gift to him to travel for 89 days through Europe. For some of the time, we were taking tours and others. We were with friends and family and touring on our own other days. We travelled through 16 countries. We kept journals to keep track of the little various towns and villages we visited. Another way I kept track of our trek was to take pictures of the sewer covers. Yes, as we entered into the different cities, towns and villages. I must admit, this way was very helpful later on when we were sorting out our pictures as they were in order and the sewer covers had names on them to describe where we were. I'm going to Japan next month to attend the World Fair as well as take a tour of my plan is to take pictures of the sewer covers again, mentioned by your guest. They're world famous, seemingly, the manhole sewer covers in Japan. So, Chris, thanks for that. I think you might have found your tribe as well, and he includes some very ornate looking manhole covers. Thanks for that. He said, I was the only one with this fetish. So there you go. Now, Anish, Tosin, and the Prief Scalta and the Nuukta. Anish.
Gamani Dirib, the Prief Scalta, Nashunta, Gazidir Nashunta, Galevig, Marion, Yuluan. Tá an tír ar a rialtais Heather Humphreys agus an feisire Orpach Sean O'Calla i gearir fórtí in Gael iad a animnú le bheith an iomaíocht go hauchan a huachtar anachta ó Harla gur Haran Mored McGuinness amachas a gomortas an techtan se caite mar ialt ar chuntí slánta. Tá caiki sin nis ag locht in Gael le animnúchan i dionna gan tauchan agus le tacaíocht do walú ó na gó leacaiche sa bártí. Dúirt feisire Orpach Ian Fáil Billy Kelleher gur cheart gomach cruniú gan fórtí parlamenta an golua le tauchan na huachtar anachta a phlé. Was a fair, blean le cosin leiche de gortiv go dunna i gás a hárla tí mug an Holiday Inn a rádi chunilim lá clia moch madin de hína se caite. Bhí baint ag gárda leis a gás agus gá réid tá fisrúchan ar bunfui ag ambudsmen na ngárdaí fisrú. Dr. Leffis de Vigri on Garda Shiachan, a Gorhani Karcha Kukvin Gate Gardu, Le Cheriblena, Erlianang Lechani, Kuriwarab, Fuihasani, Wan Le Foregan Bale. Fershid Oskin Cheska Kug Milaglich Gohan Guntorcha and Nora, a Gomortis, Le Fuiwun Karcha Kug Milaglich, Samlian Fiche Fiche. She had the party Aintu, a Foritolisha, a Gesh Dala, a Hershid, at an Irish League's Kurt, Jim O'Callaghan. Dirt candidate on 40 Aintu, Pedro Tobin, Gruasa Gudon Casa, and Tardo Honecker and the Figuri, Le Cheribliana. Agus Durchegger Tir e Aden, eta Gairi Nis Fichwara, Govra. Bhí cruinniúir nasc fí sin nuam bheith cóghúlaithe na húcráine le tar an agóráití bhí sa teachbán na Washington a né faoi na bealaí le deirechar le cagan na Rúise in aghaidh na húcráine i phlé. Dúirt uachtarán Mheiriceá Donald Trump go bhfuil sé le cruinniú a shocrú idir uachtarán na húcráine Vladimir Zelensky agus uachtarán na Rúise Vladimir Putin. D'fhreastail an tánaiste agus an taire graighachtracha Simon Harris ar heisiún eolais ar maidin le uachtarán Chomisiúna Eorpa Ursula von der Leyen faoi na córáití a bhí Washington a né. An I'm sure ta Muriel Skype galta guge moon agus an yeshkert line agus be Muriel from Hounils na canter sha skati fan sha terim agus be rin trif si gala a moran chulichar dele. Idir shach game dig agus rachem agus fi Celsius a vesin tuchta sarda. But when he had prif skelta na nu yachta agus an I'm sure fila hait rashna sha grey.
Grandma, good Marian, thank you very much. Ray and Allison will be here in about 15 minutes time. So if you're going through any relationship problems, it can be with your partner, with your child, with siblings, and you want some free advice, free anonymous advice, you can get into us now, ray@rte.ie. Meanwhile, we have two quizzers standing by waiting to take part in the 1-2-3 quiz. One of them will win a prize. And this week, the quiz winners get a two-night stay for two people in the stunning boutique hotel, the Wilder Townhouse in Dublin. It's just a 5 minute stroll from the city centre. The prize includes breakfast each morning in the garden room, and on the day of arrival, the winner will be treated to a sumptuous charcuterie board in the intimate residence only gin and tea room. So the Wilder townhouse is perfectly positioned to enjoy everything the capital city has to offer: great restaurants, picturesque parks, popular tourist attractions. And it's the only property in Ireland to make it into the Holy Trinity of Hospitality Guides: Mr. and Mrs. Smith's, Small Luxury Hotels of the World, and Ireland's Blue Book. And they have one Michelin key to boot. TheWilder.ie. TheWilder.ie. Sarah Stack, good afternoon.
Hi, Ray. How are you?
Not too bad. You're a scalder, I believe.
I'm going out with a scalder.
Right,
yes.
Okay. We should explain ourselves, because we spoke to a man recently. I think he's from New Ross, was he? And he was talking to us about Enniscorthy and the fact that people from Enniscorthy in his world were called scalders. So did you know?
I don't know why, Ray, but that is correct.
Yes, and you knew you were going out with a scalder.
I did, but he's a good countryman, so that's the main thing, Ray.
Is it right? And you're not just going out with him. Go on,
we got engaged. A little while ago there, yeah, myself and Bobby met, would you believe it, at a dance.
Right.
And he asked me for a quick separate, and that was it.
Did he? Are you making that up? What century are we in?
I honestly swear.
So where was the dance?
It was at a hall in Oilgate, dancing with Declan.
Right.
And, the two of us were single, and we met, and we hit it off.
Now, you'd have to describe the scene. Right, so there was dancing a go-go. Were you sitting down when he asked you?
Oh, yeah. We were both sitting down just chatting what our general interests were.
Okay.
And we both had a similar interest. We're both into vintage cars and going to shows and steam rallies.
Right.
So I thought, this is the winner for me.
And then he said to you, do you want to do a quick step?
It was it, yeah.
Right. And romance blossomed.
Romance blossomed on the dance floor, Ray.
Would you say he's your soulmate?
Oh, we had this conversation on the way up. He's laughing because he didn't know what one was.
Oh, did you know? Well, you're better off. You're better off not knowing.
I told him I was his soulmate, yeah. So he agrees now.
Right,
it.
Okay. He'll agree to anything you say, I would imagine. So you're off away on your holidays. Where are you going to?
We're going to Westport for 4 nights and Salt Hill for 3.
And you have the caravan in the back of the car.
Caravan on the back of the car, yeah, it's ideal. So happy out. We're going to climb Croagh Patrick tomorrow, and right. We'll see after that.
Okay. Have you done Croagh Patrick before?
I haven't.
Right. Have you got a pair of good shoes, climbing shoes, trail shoes?
Oh, I do. Yeah. We're all set for that. So
yeah, it's
you
amazing.
Promised me a big feed at the end of it in Brilliant. Some nice pub in Westport.
Great. And there's a lot of those. Right. So is this your first time away with them, or have you been away before?
Oh no, we've been away loads, yeah. So okay. Usually rains any time we go away, Ray. So
right.
We're paying for a bit of extra sunshine up in the west.
Okay. Do you have a vintage car?
We do, yeah. We've car each and we go off weekends and we bring the caravan off and
right.
We have a great old time.
Did you
and
say
a bit of dancing, Tony.
Did you say it was a 3-wheel caravan, or did I mishear you?
No, I don't know, right?
I thought you said that. I misheard you. You're up against Linda McCahy. Hello, Linda.
Hello, Ray. How are you?
Not too bad. You're in County Monaghan.
I am, yeah.
Whereabouts exactly?
In Castleblaney.
Right. How are things in Castleblaney? Sounds like a song.
Well, Big Tom could have wrote one. You'd never know.
Yeah, he could have, yeah. Are things
they're all good here today.
Great, yeah. You're running around like a headless chicken. Cane four.
Well, I won by heading into secondary school now on Friday, so yeah. We're kind of starting back very early, and it's eating into me holidays.
Yeah, how dare they? Like we'd be back up yesterday, because we've similar
really
situation.
Early.
We've a lad heading into secondary school. Wait for this, Linda. It's an induction week. Come on, an induction week.
Yeah, they get bouncy castles here and all.
Do they? Yeah. It's sort of it's maybe it makes sense. It's an ice-breaking thing. So they're meeting new people. And rather than meeting them for the first time in the classroom and on breaks when everybody's in uniform and formal and all that sort of thing, it's probably good to break the ice. Is it? Is that what, that's, I think that's the function of them.
Yeah, well, they're all probably going to be separated from their friends, so at least this way they can get to know other people, I suppose.
Yeah. And why do they do that as well? Why do they make an effort to separate people from their friends?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, to give the parents heartache.
Yeah. So that's Rowan, and Dunica's in the same secondary school, is he?
Yeah, he started last year, so he's his first year done.
At least Rowan will have somebody to hang out with, although I don't know how they get on. And then Max is, so it's three lads, three boys.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, three
boys. So you are busy, Well, good luck with that. And then the expense of it all, is it a computer or is it books or what does he have to have?
No, they're all books. So we've got to collect the books now tomorrow. And, you know, it's actually not too bad because you have the books being paid for this year. So can't complain too much.
Yeah. And then you have the hand-me-down uniforms from Dunica, which all helps. Okay.
Well, they're the same size now.
Yeah. Now, I better remind myself and you about the rules here. It's 1, 2, 3 quiz, general knowledge quiz, 3 questions each. Sarah and Linda. Before each question, I ask if you want a 1-pointer or 2-pointer after I give you the category. If you go for a 1-pointer, it's multiple choice. 2-pointer, same question, but no choice. All the questions are against the clock and I have to accept your first answer. Okay, good luck to you both. Here we go. Now, Sarah, on your way to Westport with a caravan in tow. Naughty's number ones. Do you want a 1-pointer or a 2-pointer?
1-pointer.
A which pointer?
1-pointer.
A 1-pointer. Okay, have a listen to this. The question will follow. Now, was that Avril Lavigne, Natasha Bedingfield or Nelly Furtado?
Nelly Furtado.
Yes, it was. Would you have known that if you went for a 2-pointer?
Yeah, I would.
You would have. There you go. Look at the draw. Linda, Naughty's number ones. Do you want a 1-pointer or a 2-pointer?
2-pointer.
2-pointer. Who is singing this? Good luck.
You're beautiful.
Who's that?
James Blunt.
It is James Blunt. Yes. 2 points. Puts in the lead. Right, Sarah, you're on 1. Linda on 2. Second category, geography. World capitals, Sarah. Do you want a 1-pointer or a 2-pointer yourself? And Bobby?
He's saying 2-pointer.
Okay, 2-pointer. Okay. 2-pointer. Good luck with this. What is the capital city of Poland?
Warsaw
is the correct answer. Yes, well done. 2 points. That brings you up to 3. Linda, world capitals. Do you want a 1-pointer or a 2-pointer?
2-pointer, please.
2-pointer. Okay. What's the capital city of Czechia, also known as the Czech Republic?
Jesus. Oh, something slipped my tongue.
No.
Brag.
It's too late. They're saying it's too late. I need to within the time zone. That's important. It is Prague, but we can't give you the points. Okay, so you're on 2, Linda. Sarah, you're on 3. We're down to the final category. It's famous comedians. There will be a clip with this. Famous comedians. Do you want a 1-pointer or a 2-pointer, Sarah?
2-pointer.
Oh, 2-pointer. Going for broke. Okay. Who is this for 2 points? If you get it right, you're today's winner.
I am so honoured to be here. Yes, Graham has asked me to stand in for him while he's away hosting the Eurovision Song Contest. Actually, it's part of an exchange. I'm doing this, and in return, he is taking my dad around Mykonos for 4 months. Look at all of this, though. We've got the sofa, the red chair is back there.
Who's that?
Jack Whitehall.
It is Jack Whitehall. Well done. Back at the net. 2 points. Today's winner. Linda, sorry about that.
No matter.
And oftentimes when you're on the radio and it's live and the brain, it's there somewhere, but it took too long.
Yeah, just can't get it out in time.
That's it, exactly. Yeah. Listen, we're going to send you out a Radar Show Keep Cup. And
okay, thank you.
And wish the lads well returning to school and going into second school. Thanks, Linda. Bye now. Bye, bye.
Okay,
Sarah, yourself and Bobby, I presume, are off for a two-night stay in the Wilder Townhouse in Dublin.
Fantastic. Thank you, Ray.
Yes, you can go to thewilder.ie to see what's in store for you and himself. Well done, Sarah. Have a great holiday. Drive safely. Good luck. See you. Bye. 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 Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
As Emily opened her Amazon parcel, the world went silent. These headphones gave Emily hours of playtime for a price that was music to her ears. 5 stars from Emily. From headphones to air fryers and more, find highly rated products at prices you'll love on Amazon.ie today.
Meet Kerry. She made big savings on her car insurance when she made the switch to OutSurance.
Hi, I'm Kerry. It's true, I saved €266 when I made the switch. And with the Out bonus, I'll get 10% of my premiums back in cash after 3 years claims-free.
Nice one. For a competitive car insurance quote like Kerry's, call 1-800-600-400 or visit OutSurance.ie. Real people, unreal savings. OutSurance. You always get something out. Based on a like-for-like policy comparison, the customer received a gratuity for their participation. Out bonus calculated less taxes and levies. Exceptions criteria, terms and conditions apply. Car and home insurance is underwritten by OutSurance DAC. OutSurance DAC trading as OutSurance is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Discover the Whirlpool laundry range at Power City. Big loads? No biggie with the large capacity A-rated Whirlpool washing machine. For more information, go online to powercity.ie.
Irish National Opera presents Viva Verdi, Viva Wagner. A high-voltage concert starring soprano Sinead Campbell-Wallace at the National Concert Hall on Saturday, September 13th. Maestro Kerry Lynn Wilson conducts the INO Orchestra in a thrilling journey through the powerful, beautiful arias and duets of Verdi and Wagner. Tickets from €19 at nch.ie. Booking fees apply. Funded by the Arts Council.
RTE.
Supporting the arts.
Ek taku lesh na haliana. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, relationship experts are back. Alison Keating, psychologist, good afternoon. And psychoanalyst with DCU, Ray O'Neill, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
We mentioned you in the opener today, Ray, because you've written a piece for Brainstorm on soulmates. A very interesting piece. You mentioned normal people, you mentioned Wuthering Heights and other things. So what's your take on the whole soulmate thing?
Look, I just think that's a really problematic, dangerous conversation. There isn't just one person for you. And it just puts way, way too much pressure on people in relationships and especially for people dating to try and decide within 5 seconds of meeting someone whether or not they're the one. A relationship is something that evolves and evolves over weeks, months and hopefully years.
Oh, he's just burst a romantic bubble there, Alison, just like that, in less than a minute. What do you think about soulmates, Alison?
I like soulmates. Now, look, I think I thought what you wrote was really interesting, and I'd have zero interest in that kind of chaos, you know, dressed up as chemistry that we see in Wuthering Heights and the crying and the moaning. But I actually think the concept of soulmates in terms of, and it doesn't, I suppose you are saying it's one, but that it's that resonance and that kind of comfort with somebody and like that you really connect. So from that perspective and from a very non-psychological point of view, I do see how that works, but not in the over, like if you're in a relationship and you're saying you're soulmates, but it's bad, well, then that's not going to work.
Yeah, I understand the pressure because if you are, you know, searching for somebody who's going to make you feel like that. You know those well-worn phrases like, you complete me.
Oh, that's all rubbish. I wouldn't put that in the same line with a soulmate.
Okay.
I think it's much softer and that there's that kind of easy connection rather than like putting all the responsibility on someone else that they have to, as you say, complete me. That stuff I'm on a barf, like, do you know what I mean?
I think the plural is good. Soulmates, that there's a connection of people that you have across your life that you have another level of connection with. But the idea that there's just one person out there for you, don't like that idea.
Yeah.
I have to have a backup plan, Ray.
Companionship. There's a thing that we should look for, companionship.
Yes. Yeah.
Like it is,
well, like the friendship and actually being good to each other.
Yeah.
Do you know, I think that's really important. Like we sometimes go straight to the love and it has to be all sparks all the time. But to be quite honest, are you actually kind to each other every day? Are you, you know, I think the relationships are in the small things you do every day.
Okay, here's a big question for you. do what we require, want, desire from a relationship change over our life? And is that in itself problematic? Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. I'd absolutely. So like, you know, young hearts run free, as the old classic 70s song say. Like, we got to make those gorgeous mistakes in our youth, you know, where you're like head over heels and you're making a fool of yourself. And if you're doing that in your 40s or your 50s, probably not so cool. And I'm speaking from someone who learned later in life about these things. Yes, we should evolve. And that's what I say is, when we get older, we start kind of go, look, who actually is going to be a companion? Who's going to hold my hand through life's experience? Who's going to be there when the going gets tough? We don't think like that, or nor can we when we're kids.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because biologically, I suppose, you know, biologically, this is strictly biologically, it's probably better to procreate when you're younger.
Yeah.
You're better suited to it, you know.
Well, what is the average age now? Is like
it's 31, in the 30s, 33. Yes, first child, yeah.
But I think I actually would see that's a cornerstone of a good relationship, that you actually are growing, do you know, and that your needs and wants and desires do actually change. And I think where relationships fall down sometimes is when you get stuck in this kind of like immature idea of what love should be. And I actually genuinely love the marriage vows, like it, but the reality of it, it's in sickness and in health, you know, in the good times and bad. And I do actually think that's the part that we, that doesn't come into the romantic part.
Yeah, and you make that point in your piece that there's little reality in the romantic notion of the soulmate.
Yeah, don't, like, I think that was the lie. Like, we don't see Cathy and Heathcliff wandering around IKEA fighting over furniture.
Yeah, yeah. And then when you bring it home and, you know, as I always do, insist on assembling it, and then you go, oh, expletive. And what happened there? And I used the wrong screw. And then you have to take the whole thing apart and tempers are frayed, and that's not good. But that's reality. That's life.
Just for anyone that's out there that is dating or whatever, you can't beat a bit of reality to make a relationship a real relationship.
A relationship. Yeah. He likes the old poem. He likes the play awards. Okay. And if people can read that on rte.ie. Now, we said you were coming in and we asked people if they wanted any advice, and they do. This is from concerned parents. Ray and Alison, my husband and I are feeling taken for granted. Our daughter is 20 and is a student and is home for the summer and is not working and has no interest in doing any jobs around the house or garden, despite numerous appeals and rows. She's hanging around the house all day doing puzzles and not even getting dressed. She's heading into her last year of college and could do with some experience. She suffers from a lot of headaches and is looking after herself for the autumn term. She had a serious illness a few years ago and still receives some yearly treatment and daily medication to keep it at bay. I feel that she will be passed over for any job in the future, as all her friends are working for the summer and have even offered to help her get work. We feel she will have nothing on her CV this summer. We are both in our 60s and looking forward to retiring soon, but are worried about this pattern of inactivity. She used to play sport and she's still very fit and strong, but has given up that due to many minor injuries and, again, minding herself. Any ideas to get her up and living and out meeting people would help. Thank you very much, concerned parents. Alison.
So, to the concerned parents, I can hear your frustration and your worry. And it's a real challenge. And like, they're in their 60s, they're looking forward to retiring, and they're thinking, gosh, what's going to be ahead of our daughter? And they're thinking of themselves at that age, and they were probably, you know, nearly maybe married in a house, all those things. And it's a stark difference to their experience of being in their 20s. I am also curious as to, you know, it says it was a serious illness. She's still getting, you know, yearly treatment. I'm wondering what impact that's had upon her psychologically and even physically. I hear the mom or dad's concern here as a level of they think she's giving up. But I'm wondering, and I'm not suggesting it's a good idea to do nothing all day long, right? But there is an aspect of this minding herself that she knows she's going back into college. And like, you know, college is pretty intense as well. So maybe she knows she has to conserve energy in some ways, but also not meeting people. I think I'd nearly push that one more than the experience. I mean, like summer jobs, they're grand and everything, but like, I'd be more curious as to why is she pulling back? What's really going on? She's on daily medication, so does something have an impact? And it would be something to go in and have a curious kind of conversation to say, look, I've really noticed you sitting around. I'm a bit worried. You seem to be in your room a lot, but the tone is completely curious. It's non-judgmental. And I really do understand the parents who are also frustrated and concerned. But I think there's a different way to go about it.
Yeah, I think Alison is absolutely spot on to focus on the serious illness, because that just didn't just impact the daughter, it's also impacted the parents. Mm. And so there's something systemic going on here. I think the parents perhaps, mammied her or over-mammied her out of the fear of the serious illness. And so the daughter's been allowed to become. I think if there's a sibling, I would approach the sibling to talk to the daughter here. If there isn't a sibling, try and get one of her friends. I think this information and advice would come better from peers than from the parents. Mm. So do try and talk either to a sibling of your daughter or a friend of your daughter and just see what's going on. Because again, as Alison said, whatever about the work piece, certainly the piece about not socialising, that's the bit that needs encouragement.
I'm wondering about serious illness and then, get better, fine, but the psychological aspect of it.
It
is huge, isn't it? And it's overlooked often.
And I mean, what happens is if you've experienced a serious illness, it creates this huge identity shift. Now, this happened a few years ago. So she was 16, 17, she might have been going through a leaving cert. Maybe that was very traumatic for her. Like a lot of people talk about how insanely challenging they found that and what it takes out of them. So I sometimes think it genuinely takes a long time to actually recover. Mm. Like when you're ill, you're kind of in that fight or flight all the time. So it can take physical bodies a long time to recover. Now, inactivity is not going to help it. But it is, the psychological piece is really important in like, who am I now? Am I able for this?
Yeah.
And maybe she's doubting herself, you know.
Yeah. And what about professional help?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. Again, as we're saying here, like it's like when you go through a bereavement. And again, I'm very conscious in terms of there's the shock of the actual loss and then there's the grieving. And the grieving only happens years after the actual loss. So again, it's around a serious illness. There's the shock, the fight or flight, as Alan says. And then when you're recovered, people are like, oh, you should be happy now. But that's actually oftentimes when the reality of what you've gone through hits you.
And you can become defined by it. And that's not good. Yeah. That's not healthy. Yeah. So maybe professional help here. If there's a sibling, have the chats. Be curious in your approach as opposed to giving out.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's always a good suggestion. Okay, hopefully that works out. Now, Ray and Alison, our daughter hasn't spoken to us since she married 2 years ago. I can't text her or phone her as she has my phone blocked. She doesn't live too far away. I've written to her. I don't really know her husband or any of his family, for that matter, as the relationship developed during COVID. Our daughter uses the strangest of excuses not to attend extended family functions. I'm afraid to drive to see her in case I affect her relationship with her husband. In the last 2 years, both my husband and I have been hospitalised and she hasn't even called in to see us. The whole situation fills me with anxiety. We were an ordinary run-of-the-mill family until this happened. I truly understand the pain the Beckhams are going through at the moment. Please do not read out my name. Wow, this is serious, Ray, isn't it?
It really is serious. And look, I suppose my concern is around the husband, because I keep hearing his name mentioned much more than the daughter. And the fact that, you won't even call over to the house because you're afraid of what the husband will do, that just to me causes kind of concerns. Again, use ambassadors. Try and see if there's, again, siblings or cousins or an aunt, somebody who can mediate and can kind of go in and find out what actually is going on. I think getting somebody inside the house and seeing what's going on in the house would alleviate my concerns.
Right.
That there might be some kind of controlling behaviour happening.
That's one side of the story. But it could be that they didn't get on before.
Yep.
We may not be hearing the full version of events here. What do you think, Alison?
I think this is a really common experience in Ireland, and often when people actually live close to each other, which is really, really hard because they actually pass by each other at the school, they see each other in the supermarket. I think there are a lot of families who are estranged and they don't know what to do next. And I like that she wrote the letter. And I think that's one good way. Whether she got it or not is another thing. Like Ray said, I would get someone who she is in contact with to get in, like to maybe get a letter to her. That's what I would suggest. And say, look, I would really love to meet up with you. Can we meet up just myself and yourself somewhere neutral, like just like basically like a park bench or somewhere, and just say, I don't want to cause any trouble in your relationship, but I really miss you.
Mm.
I'd like to understand what's actually going on. I don't want to upset you, but you know, I would love to kind of try and work through this, or even understand what's going on.
So both of you think that there could be coercive control here?
Just
potentially.
Potentially.
Like you said, we don't know, but potentially, her last line was interesting, that she kind of had this sense that someone else is blocking. Yeah. But like, it's just always important to know that we don't know. But no. I definitely would be reaching out and trying to contact again.
One of the symptoms of coercive control is that the person tries to cut
isolate
their partner away from family, friends, etc.
But it's very painful, and I'd suggest also for this person to, you know, and her husband, because they were in hospital, and the pain of the daughter not coming to see them, I think must be huge. So I would suggest them also seeking support, you know, in therapy, because that's heartbreaking.
That's right.
So your advice is to get an intermediary, a mediator, somebody who they do talk to represent you, ask the questions, see what's going on,
see what's
happening, and report back.
Yeah.
Right. We're running out of time. Let's see if we've got a minute here. So I'll synopsize this, and it is: this person fears that they're losing their husband to Premier League football. I know that I'm left with the bulk of childcare and ferrying to and from multiple kids' parties. The other problem is that his mood is dependent on how well his team is doing. Honestly, can't believe that I'm writing to you as a problem, but as soon as the telly was switched on at the weekend, my heart sank. Is there any hope for me? So the Premiership started this weekend.
See, that's news to me, see.
Our husband watches every game.
Yeah.
It's something we may come back to. We've only 25 seconds here. So what do you think?
Very quickly, I would just say that I feel people do minimise these situations. And like literally as she's saying it cuts across everything. She's been left hold, literally, you know, the baby. But I think when it's someone like, oh, they're just watching the football, leave him be, the conversation gets shut down.
I'll quickly say, watch Shirley Valentine and follow her example. Leave the house and see what he does when you're gone.
Well, I don't know if we can condone that. But it is something we're going to come back to.
Yes, definitely.
And it's not just Premiership. It might be...
Yeah, no, it's a real issue.
Yeah, other sports activities. And it's mainly men who are guilty of this. Mainly. Yeah. Right. Ray, thanks very much.
Cheers,
Alison,
Ray.
Thank you.
That's
it from us. Claire Brock and John Cook are on Drive Time. We are back tomorrow. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday evening.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.